I'm Linnea Zimmerman. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And so, tell me about what you talked about in Addis.
I was the chair of the mobile family planning session, so we had four presentations on different aspects of using mobile technology to improve family planning service quality, and better able to measure family planning use.
Tell me about all of those potential strategies for improving this, and then I'd like you to give me a snapshot on, hey, this is my synthesis view of what I learned here.
As I said, there were four different papers, and it was really interesting because each one of them used mobile technology in a different aspect. One of them used mobile technology to improve service delivery at the point of service. So they used a mobile tablet to use an algorithm to determine if a woman had unmet need by asking a series of questions. And then the tablet would say, this is a recommendation for the kind of family planning, and then it would also say even the stock that was inside of the health center and whether or not it was available and if they had to reorder soon. So it was a great way to just monitor stocks and supplies. Another mobile technology was doing a similar, but at a larger scale, monitoring and evaluation of stockouts and ways to improve the supply chain management. Another one was post-abortion care family planning, which is post-abortion care in general is one of the hardest things to measure. So it was pretty innovative to be using mobile family planning to text women to remind them if they were in the period where they might be getting pregnant again, if they would be interested in using family planning. And then the fourth one was texting women about behavior change. So texting women about information about different kinds of family planning, and then also testing whether or not those messages, if they were in different languages, increased uptake.
Let's talk about this. One thing that you and I both recognized about this sort of implementation or intervention in Africa is that to some degree Africa is a whole lot like a tabula rasa. There's not an existing infrastructure, and so you can kind of create things that could potentially have huge impact. So what's your view of this? Is it having that kind of impact, or are African women getting a lot like American women in that they're like, oh no, another text message?
So three of the projects were in Africa. One was actually in Cambodia. So it has the potential to be worldwide, not just in Africa. I think that's kind of the fear eventually, is that they'll sort of be the overexposure. But I think right now it's still new technology. It's still really exciting for a lot of people to have a cell phone. It seemed like, at least for the program that was actually direct contact with women, when it was in a local language, it also gave them alerts about there's a mobile family planning clinic coming to your town next week, tomorrow, today. It seemed like it actually did improve uptake among those women.
How about the stockout issue? Because I heard an awful lot about that during the conference, that, wow, if it takes you a day or half a day of travel to get to someplace, and then you get there and you find out that your method of choice is unavailable, that's a little bit disconcerting at best.
Right. I think that's actually going to be one of the biggest opportunities, especially because a lot of women might not have access to mobile networks all the time, but health centers generally do. So if they have the ability to link into a network that just monitors stockouts both at the health center, at the central center, and the ability to link, I think that'll be great. And a lot of the times these tablets are set up with just basic spreadsheets, so it's a lot easier than somebody doing it by hand and trying to keep track. So I think it definitely is an opportunity for better management.
If you were a betting gal, what would you say? What would be your synthesis view of this is how this thing is going to go forward in the next couple years and then maybe even further down the road?
Well, there's definitely challenges. It's not a guarantee, but I think it's definitely improving the chances for women to get family planning. I would put money on it.
Another thing that occurred to me when we were in Africa was that we are seeing a very interesting phenomenon, at least in my mind, that interventions and strategies that are developed in the developing world are actually being imported into the developed world. So what do you think about that with regard to this mobile planning?
I think that's 100% true. The innovation that people have used in the developing world and Africa specifically to get messages to women, we don't do that here. I get my hair cut, and I've had conversations with my hairstylist about family planning for her daughter, and she says her daughter doesn't know anything about it and she doesn't really want to be bringing it up. But something just like mobile technology, an app that they could get access to, something that's very anonymous but the teenagers could get access to, I think that would be a huge improvement for family planning for adolescents in the U.S.
Outstanding. What have I forgotten to ask you?
So I work with PMA 2020, which I think has the potential to be a huge innovator in the field of monitoring and evaluation, not just for family planning, but for all sorts of health services. And I think that's where mobile technology really has potential in the ability to just have almost immediate access to information on the ground.
Tell me more about, for the listeners who don't know what PMA 2020 is, tell me more about that.
So PMA 2020 came out of FP 2020, which was the huge London summit and the dedication to improving access to family planning for 120 million new users by the year 2020. And PMA 2020 came out of that as a way to monitor our progress. So most of the information that we have on family planning uptake and improvements and trends, it comes from the Demographic and Health Survey, which is great, but it only happens about every 5 to 10 years, which is not enough to really monitor progress. So PMA 2020 is designed to have women in communities on the ground equipped with smartphones to do periodic, either every year or twice a year, surveys amongst their local community of women's uptake of family planning, their views on family planning, barriers they might have, and then indicators of quality of care that they're receiving and gender and empowerment scales. So it's just a really great way to get almost immediate access by empowering women to go out into their communities, having this skill, and maybe hopefully giving them a skill that they can then use in other surveys or other jobs after we've finished.
What does it stand for?
Performance monitoring and accountability.
And it could also be promulgated to other areas of healthcare.
Exactly. So it's funded by the Gates Foundation, and there's been already discussion and interest among both the Gates Foundation and other ministries of health and other partners to use it to start monitoring vaccines, to monitor child health, and part of our current module is monitoring water and sanitation. So we're having broad-based, generalizable information on water and sanitation practices that are generally pretty hard to get to.
Wow, this sounds really comprehensive, and it sounds like it's got a lot of potential upside.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add?
It's really exciting and innovative and has a huge potential to really improve health for a lot of people.
What could be better than that? Thanks so very much.
Yes, of course.